The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Jack McCallum, the Hall of Fame basketball writer. He has a podcast out. It is really cool. He has tapes of interviews from all the players from the Dream Team. He actually has Michael Jordan saying one thing about Isaiah Thomas versus what you saw on Last Dance. I also want to talk to Jack about, of all the Dream Teamers, which player is doing something that you would have never thought, and which player came right on through and is living his post-NBA career exactly how he believed he would. And, of course, Jack wrote 7 Seconds or Less All Around the Suns. He's terrific. So we'll have Jack McCallum with us. Doug Howler is going to stop in today. And the Bobby Hurley, Ray Anderson feud, I wanted to give this some context because this is an old story. It became public yesterday, but as it was progressing yesterday, there was this, oh, wow, oh, my gosh, oh, I can't believe that this is going on. Well, going on. It started last December. I think I actually talked about on the show that Ray and Bobby were not talking. I didn't know it was on this front exclusively. I knew that there was some stuff off the court. From my understanding, the frustration over not having an arena was boiling within Bobby. But this, obviously, the stuff that was released yesterday by Pete Thamel, and Pete's great, okay? But this was not something that happened this week. This is something that happened last December. But I want to give Doug some context time on that. And will this fracture the future? Has it been repaired? They released a statement last night saying kumbaya. Of course they did. They did everything PR 101, which is just fine. That's to be expected. Eric is with us now. And, well, let me just first, our opening comments are brought by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. These uncertain times, have you taken care of all of your business? As you look at your family, as you look at your kids, maybe things have changed in your life. Have you considered life insurance? For Sagicor Now, you can log on, get your free quote. It's simple to do, and it's something that everyone should look at doing, that is life insurance. And also, there's other products there that Sagicor Now can put you in touch with to take a look at your financial future. It's all very important for you at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Eric is now with us. So the Bobby Hurley story, I've got some news on the NBA. I like where Phil Mickelson is going with the match. We've got Jack McCallum. What is on your radar today?
The Bobby Hurley, Ray Anderson story is fascinating to me simply because, Brad, Ray Anderson is Bobby Hurley's boss. He's not feuding with, like, another coach or one of his assistant coaches or one of his players. The only person above Ray Anderson in the pecking order at ASU is Dr. Michael Crow. And Bobby, I mean, we all saw the emails. Like, that's pretty cut and dry. And it just says a lot to me about Bobby Hurley's character and the fact that he doesn't give a bleeping bleep about who he is picking fights with if he feels he is in the right and they're in the wrong, even if it's his boss, Ray Anderson.
Well, was it a fight or was it just him saying, let's get after this? A fight could be viewed completely different versus, holding you accountable. I'm holding you accountable.
True, but those are pointed emails, he said. Sure. I mean, those were direct, and he did not cut any corners. And you said, I think last year, that the whole arena issue was kind of bubbling below the surface, and is this a part of that? Maybe, maybe not, but it's just been, I mean, ASU basketball, the last 6-7 months, just, it's been a wild ride. I mean, sure. On the court, off the court. Josh Christopher, all these good things, all these bad things. Is Remy staying? Is Remy going? Romello White going to the NBA? Nope, now he's in the transfer portal. If it's not one thing, it's another.
Okay, so to unpack a lot of this, I feel like I still believe Bobby's leaving. I believe that if there had been a madness, who knows how far of a run they would have had. COVID wiped it out, and I believe that there would have been some people coming after Bobby that, given what was already going on, Pete Thamel wrote this. Again, I go back to it was in December. And the lack of the arena and the we're going to build a hockey arena. hockey doesn't bring in any revenue. Let's be honest. And I like their hockey program. And I like their coach. And I like the sport of hockey. But hockey revenue versus basketball revenue, not happening. So I think because of COVID, Bobby is still here. I don't know what marquee job would have come open for Bobby, but I feel like if I'm doing one of those 90% certain crystal ball things, he's not here next year. You know, the arena, between the arena and this isn't something that gets solved overnight. There's going to be the legal process that goes on. Wherever Bobby goes, whenever there's a story now of boosters and sexual harassment, it's going to get picked up. I saw it get picked up yesterday in Portland. John Cannizzaro wrote a great column yesterday, and it's in Portland. So Bobby and ASU are going to be tied at the hip to this story nationally for a long, long time. Bobby came out looking great. Ray, in my opinion, came out looking like somebody that was not being active and acting quick enough. ASU actually said they could have reacted sooner to it. People want Ray fired over this. I guess you can make that if you go back to December. But Ray Anderson has done many, many good things. And legally, behind the scenes, we don't know everything. Everybody wants to say they know, but you know. So the one person in all this, Eric, is Michael Crow has not said a thing. He hasn't said a thing. There hasn't been a statement. There hasn't been anything from the president of the university on something as dumpster fire as this. And that, to me, is odd.
One of the more misguided narratives I hear about Bobby Hurley is the fact that Bobby Hurley really loves Scottsdale. Bobby Hurley is really a big fan of the state of Arizona. Bobby Hurley really loves living out west. Sure, I'm sure all those are true. Bobby Hurley probably doesn't love playing in front of 3,500 people in non-conference games in December. Bobby Hurley would probably like to go to a school where basketball is plan A, not plan B or plan 1B or 1C. Sure. And I just, you know, he went to Duke. Like, he's won national championships. He's played at the highest level. So if a bigger, more attractive job on the East Coast, hint, hint, comes open, he's got to go. And I don't think anyone at ASU can blame him for that. He's been really good here.
Well, but that's the problem with Arizona State. Arizona State is a stepping stone school, get it right. It doesn't matter if it's Kevin White for an AD or Gene Smith for an AD or coaches come here. Dirk Cutter came here. He hated the media. He got fired. He ended up in the NFL. You go through, or it's a place like Dennis Erickson came here to semi-retire. You know, Todd Graham came here off the scrap heap, so to speak, in my opinion. He was a Pitt with a really bad reputation of being a job jumper. And he came here and he did some very good things early on. And then he wore everybody out, most everybody out. Herm is a hire that you look at and say, this is a professor in the field of football, and he can be here as long as he wants to be here. He's not going to use ASU to move on to the next gig or the next gig. In basketball, if you go through their basketball hires, Bill Frieder was a shot in the dark to go get a big name who said, yeah, well, I think I will come to Tempe. And did it really work out for them? They made it the Sweet 16 once. And all the coaches that followed Bill really haven't done much until Bobby. And if you really want to say you have got it all figured out, it's like these football fans, these football boosters for ASU that talk about how great the program is. You haven't been to a Rose Bowl unless you're playing UCLA since 97. Come on now. That's 23 years. So don't give me the every year you go to El Paso or Las Vegas. If you're Bobby's sitting here saying, well, what are we talking about? We made it in as a play-in team at Arizona State. I could be in the ACC waiting for Coach K to leave. I don't know if he'd ever want to go down that path. I could go to the Big Ten and I could just get a little bit closer and we can play on CBS and have a much better television deal than sit around and play in Colorado over in China in a game that's not even televised. So I just look at where he is, Eric, and if he is here a year from now, he's only here a year from now because he's really won big and everybody's got to figure it out. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm still in the opinion Josh Christopher may not show up here. The NBA keeps pushing back that date. And you have these guys that are saying, hey, I think I'll go to the G League. And then you have something like yesterday. It's like in football recruiting. If you've committed to the University of Minnesota, and there's a kid here in the Valley you know full well that's committed to the University of Minnesota on a football scholarship, and you see what's going on in Minnesota, when the football program fired the police in Minnesota over what's happened here in the last couple of days, things change like that. Josh Christopher sees there's something going on between the coach and the administration, even if he is a one and done, even if he already is ranked as one of the top 20 players in next year's draft, which he is, I'm still of the opinion that I will believe it when I see him walk on the floor. Because there's always going to be outside influences saying, yeah, you know, maybe I even should go over here and just make $500K for a year in the G League. I'm not being cynical, but there you go. We have Jack McCallum coming up next, and then Doug Haller. Stay with us. Jack McCallum now with us. 7 seconds or less was a big hit with all of you Suns fans back in the day. This is when the Suns would go to the playoffs and not miss it for 10 years in a row. By the way, just a little aside, Jack has come out with something here during COVID that is a terrific, terrific distraction. It is, in my opinion, better than Last Dance in that it is raw, it is real, it is the Dream Tapes with Jack McCallum podcast. It's on iHeartRadio. I want to have Jack on because, you know, rather than watch the clip of Jordan and Isaiah, Jack has the tape on Jordan, and that's just part of it. He can get into Charles Barkley. He can get into the team being put together. Things that are of interest to Suns fans and NBA fans, the Hall of Famer, longtime Sports Illustrated writer, Jack McCallum, with us on the show once again. Hi, Jack. It's Brad Sussmat.
How you doing, guys?
I am doing well, Jack. So the early returns on the Dream Tapes have been overwhelmingly thumbs up. Why do you think this project is resonating with the fans so well?
Well, I had the idea, the idea did not come in reaction to, I'm not quick enough to have put together a podcast because of, reaction to The Last Dance. I mean, it's been in the works for a year, but we were trying to figure out when to release it. You know, I'm not exactly ESPN and Netflix, so you have to get a time when it looks good. And suddenly along came the pandemic. And in answer to your question, I think part of the answer is, let's be honest, that things have resonated more. The Jordan documentary would have been big news anytime. But I think this period of our strange, arid sports cult led to it, and then it kind of piggybacked into my thing, kind of piggybacked into, you know, followed the Jordan thing, because then you could kind of fact check some of the things Michael said versus what, you know, I had on tape and in the Dream Team book. So it was it's not an opportune time for me or you or anyone in America, but except for releasing sports related programming. That's about one of the advantages.
You can find the Dream Team tapes with Jack McCallum over on iHeartRadio. He joins us for a few minutes. I'm curious, just to put some context to it, I adjunct teach over at Cronkite at ASU, so I always like to go all the way back. Did you just have these tapes sitting around saying, you know, I should do something with those? Was it that raw? Or when you're in the moment of capturing all this content back in the day around the team in 1992, it couldn't have possibly crossed your mind of someday I'm going to write off of this or talk about it, or did it?
Well, I'll answer that question, but the audio is basically, I did a book called Dream Team. Sure. I really have a way with titles, so that was 2012. So the audio is basically from those interviews. And fortunately, those interviews, because they had to be, were conducted, pretty privately. I mean, if you're doing a book, 7 seconds or less was a little different. You caught a lot of guys on the, you caught guys in meetings and you caught them here and there. But a book got a sort of, I got all the 12 guys when they could concentrate, when it was quiet, reasonably so. So these tapes were pretty clear. And a couple of years ago, the whole story is that somebody optioned the book to make a documentary out of. But like so many things, so I discovered I had all these things. And like so many things in Hollywood, around and tossed around to the point where I don't know where it is. So I decided last year that, hey, this would be a great podcast based on the fact that nobody wants to hear me read my book again. That's not what it's about. It's about using the voices, the audio from these guys to kind of string together the story. So the story came from what I had audio-wise, and what I had was mostly, I have a couple things from 1992, but it's mostly from my interviewing them in 2009, 2010, 2011.
Episode 3, the cool kids all sign on, but they don't include Isaiah, dropped this past Monday. The Dream Team tapes on iHeartRadio. Jack McCallum, Hall of Fame basketball writer, longtime Sports Illustrated writer, with us for a few minutes here on Sports 360 AZ. What really happened, without giving every last bit of it away, if you can, with Jordan and Isaiah, because that is in the news cycle this week, Jack?
Yeah, well, it's actually not the end of it, strangely. I'm trying to think of the episode. Episode 4 drops Monday. I think it's in episode 5 or 6. What happened and what got Michael talking about it was that during the qualifying, the Tournament of the Americas in Portland, the United States had to qualify because they had finished only third in 88. The qualifying tournament in Portland, so John Stockton breaks his leg. He gets injured in the game against Canada. And there became this debate about, was he going to have to be replaced? You know, did we need a replacement? Well, Michael started talking about that. Geez, at that point, you know, I was afraid they were going to go get Isaiah. You know, and that led him into the discussion of, in the beginning, he said, you know, he really didn't want to play with Isaiah. And Michael's position on The Last Dance, when he kind of obfuscated or outright dissembled about it, that has been his position all these years. He's never owned up to it. The day I was interviewing him for the Dream Team book, for some reason, I got lucky. Michael told me the truth, you know. And the funny thing is, it's like so many things, we've seen it with politicians 100 times. The worst thing is the cover-up. Did anybody really surprise Jordan didn't want to play with Isaiah? Of course he didn't. Of course he didn't. But so it would have been better just to take the heat from the beginning. But there were other people that didn't want to play with Isaiah. And Jordan's opinion on it is colored by the fact that he just doesn't want to take all the heat. You know, Chuck Daly didn't stand up forcefully for Isaiah. Nobody else on the team went, oh, my God, we got to get this guy on the team. And there was a lot of opinion that at that point, John Stockton was as effective as a point guard. So Jordan's kind of avoiding it and lying about it and dissembling and hedging the truth is more based upon the fact he always felt put upon, that he was looked upon as the only reason that Isaiah wasn't on the Dream Team. And that isn't exactly the case.
The Dream Team tapes with Jack McCallum on iHeartRadio, the podcast, it is up. You can check it out. A new episode drops each week. Give me, if you can, without, again, giving it all away, because I obviously want to help you out and have people over on the podcast, but Charles Barkley, in going through the tapes, seeing Charles today, interviewing him then, are you surprised with where he is and his lot in life? And was there anything you took away from there that may cause some people to raise their eyebrows with Charles?
Well, you would have to, anybody that looked, you know, if you go back to 92, when those guys got over in Barcelona, there was sort of a hierarchy within the hierarchy. And I very distinctly remember that we talked about it all the time, because you couldn't talk about the games because who the hell cared, you know. So the game within the game was Jordan lifted himself even among his people. You know, he was the first among equals. And the two other guys were Pippen and Charles. And so when Charles came back to Phoenix for his first year and became the MVP. It was widely written, and I think true, that no one from a playing standpoint got more out of it than Charles. That he, yeah, he was always cocky and arrogant and all, but all these guys that have this cocky, arrogant thing have something underneath. There's a little moment of, am I really that good? What happens when I really test myself? Jordan probably didn't have that. He may stand alone in the universe for that. But this really proved a lot to Charles. So as a player, Charles had the most to gain and gained the most when he came back and, in fact, did that, although he couldn't get past Michael and the Bulls for the final. If you would say culturally, 20, 30 years later, would we think Charles would be the number one person from that team in terms of our sports culture, who we know, who's out front, who's a person of reference? If anybody would have said Charles, you'd be lying. You didn't know what he was going to do. But nobody unleashed more of a second career than Charles Barkley, and he's a major reason that people like me are still on shows like yours, you know, gabbing about the Dream Team.
Yeah.
That Charles, that kind of pop, he has that kind of energy. He's one of, the four guys. I mean, we like the Dream Team, but we're not talking about Chris Mullin. We're not talking about David Robinson. We're talking about Michael, Magic, Larry, and Charles, right? I mean, to a certain extent, that's the guys.
Last question, I'll let you go, Jack. And when you look at the team as a whole, who is today raising your eyebrows or like, wow, I would have never thought, you said Charles earlier with television, but if you go up and down the entire roster, one of those players doing something with their lives, you're like, wow, I just never saw this coming.
John Stockton, I saw exactly what was coming. He was going to go back to Spokane and be a dad and the husband. So a lot of them are doing exactly what I thought. I guess I would say that one of the people that really walked the walk and talked the talk is David Robinson. And to a certain extent, this is the reverse answer to your question. But when David was playing, David said, I want to start a school. I want to start the school called Carver Academy in San Antonio that gives underprivileged kids a chance. I'm going to fund it with some of my own money. I'm going to work my ass off, blah, 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 to keep it going. And even with a guy like David Robinson, you go, oh, yeah, okay, we'll see how this goes. He'll have a board of directors within a couple, if it goes at all, he'll have a board of directors within a couple of years that'll be doing everything. David Robinson is still doing that. He's still making the phone calls. He's still going to the conferences. He's still working his butt off. He's still doing exactly what he said he was going to do. And it is not easy work, even when you're David Robinson, even in a community where they love you. So of all the people that have done things with their lives afterward, you couldn't do a 10-hour documentary, but I respect him as much as for what he's done with his life as more than anyone on that team.
That's great stuff. Great stuff. Hey, appreciate the time and the insight, and best of luck on future projects. This is great that it's out there, Jack. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Jack McCallum with us, the Dream Team tapes of Jack McCallum. It's over on iHeartRadio. We appreciate his time. The Hall of Fame basketball writer, longtime Sports Illustrated writer. And we're back with more after this timeout. Thanks again to Jack McCallum for being with us. Good stuff there. Now I'll turn our attention over to Arizona State, Doug Haller from The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. These guys work their tails off. They do a great job day in and day out. Yesterday it came out. Pete Thamel's story with Sports Illustrated. The one side of the street is, yeah, this happened back in December. Why is it coming out now? Some fans, even some people at ASU said that. By last night, we had a statement from Bobby Hurley on Ray Anderson, and they're singing Kumbaya around the fire and toasting marshmallows. Now here's Doug Haller to say, was there chocolate and graham cracker with the marshmallows? Is everything copacetic with Bobby Hurley, or am I to sit here on my side of the street and say, he still doesn't have... And the hockey arena is coming. And this story with Ray, you can't help but believe that there weren't some hurt feelings or deeper than that. The perception wasn't good for Ray, I think, yesterday. Make sense of all of this, if you could, today, Doug.
Well, it's difficult. For one reason, Brad, we only know really half the story from the beginning of this. And it started with Dave Cohen, an associate AD, the league basketball administrator, a close friend of Bobby Hurley's, was fired. And he claimed that he was fired because he brought, he reported Bart Ware, the booster, had done something, some inappropriate things to his wife at a basketball game, to a couple others, one being Leslie Hurley, Bobby's wife. We know this because he filed a statement of claim written by his attorney. So, and then Bart Ware issued a statement of claim saying that he was treated unfairly during the investigation. That was written by his attorney. So we've only gotten really the sides of those two men. Arizona State, aside from the fact of pointing out that Ray Anderson acted too slowly in responding to the accusations, I think it was 5 months. They said that was he should have acted quicker. Other than that, they haven't issued a lot other than just saying that they checked things out. But we don't know Ray Anderson's side of it. We really don't know Bobby Hurley's side of it. He hasn't said a whole lot. But there's no question, there is no doubt that those emails between Bobby Hurley and Ray Anderson are not good. Are they past it? It did happen a long time ago, possibly. Is it completely water under the bridge? And I'm sure you could go on message boards right now and see that everything is great and they're getting along better than they ever have. Maybe. But usually, you know, something like this might be forgiven in the moment, but it's not completely forgotten. And, you know, the coaches leave all the time because they don't feel comfortable around their athletic directors. Could this situation be different? Maybe. But I'm sure that that's going to be something in the back of Bobby Hurley's mind, because it is. I mean, he felt so strongly about it that he sent a very strongly worded email to Ray Anderson, his boss, on his company, email address, which is public record. So is it great? No. Is it better? Maybe. But I wouldn't dismiss it entirely.
Okay. So I just am sitting over here in the corner of the room waving my arms saying, where's Dr. Michael Crow at in all this? Why have I not heard anything from the president of the university at all in any way, shape, or form? Does that seem odd to you that in this case, he has two people, and he's big into sports. You and I have been there on the fields. We've seen him at games and so on and so forth. We haven't heard a peep out of him on this. That, to me, seems odd.
Yeah, I requested an interview with Dr. Crow yesterday and was told that he was not available, and then was given a statement that this issue had been resolved and that Arizona State is moving on. Now, probably the real reason we haven't heard from him is that there is pending litigation. And if he would have disciplined Ray Anderson in any way, that probably would not have helped ASU's cause throughout all this. So that's probably the real reason, given that Dr. Crow has spoken out against similar issues across the college landscape in the past. It is kind of odd. Obviously, you know, he hired Ray Anderson. Ray Anderson has done some great things at Arizona State, continues to do some great things at Arizona State, but it is odd, you know, the fact that 5 months passed, according to Dave Cohen and his attorneys, before, you know, he really took this seriously. Now, we don't know. Maybe Ray Anderson had a reason to doubt Dave Cohen's story. That's possible. Maybe he knew that Dave Cohen was on his way out, and he saw this as a way of Dave Cohen trying to save his job. I have no idea. Ray Anderson, I reached out to him, and he respectfully declined to comment. So, you know, all of that contributes to this in some way, I'm sure. But it is odd that we haven't heard from him, just given the nature of the accusations. And, you know, Bart Ware has denied them all. But, you know, ASU did admit in their independent investigation found that he did act inappropriately in some way. So you would think that there is something to be said there.
Doug Haller with us from The Athletic, and I don't mean to make all of this on the side of basketball, because what happened is reprehensible in a lot of other words I'm not going to use here, even though I could because we're online. It's true, though, that Dr. Crow went to Ray at one time early in Bobby Hurley's run and said, Bobby needs to tone his act down when it comes to referees, right? We've heard the same thing.
Well, I've had that discussion with Ray Anderson a couple times, and one time it was brought up by Ray himself. I didn't even bring it up, and Ray said that, you know, pointed out that Bobby's a young coach and he needs to do a better job handling his emotions. And one time I did ask Michael Crow about it, and he said the same thing. He called, you know, it was quote about Bobby's volcanic emotions and that he needs to bring, you know, kind of control those. Yeah, I mean, they have brought that up a couple times publicly.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is, I agree totally with where Bobby's stance is on this, but I also agree with you that, you know, if you have friction with an athletic director, I just think it's a matter of time before he leaves. And yeah, coaches leave all the time. And I think you even wrote this, that if there would have been a March Madness this year, Bobby may have bolted even now. I would be shocked, not just on this, but just where everything is, the lack of the building and this on top of it, if Bobby's gone next year. And ASU fans don't want to hear that stuff. It's just one person's opinion. But just looking at the tea leaves here, saying, you know, at some point, probably time for Bobby to get out of Arizona and get to a conference that has a bigger footprint in television, where he's not playing in front of 3,000 fans on a Saturday afternoon against a who cares team at a dumpy arena. Am I making sense here?
You are. Here's what I know. And Bobby Hurley does like living out here. You know, I've gone hiking with him. He likes the outdoors, the recreation part of it, the challenge part of that, of challenging himself on these different trails. He enjoys that. I think he enjoys the challenge of coaching basketball at Arizona State, a place that has not done well, a place that he has been told probably several times that you cannot win, that you can't reach a high level in that building, at that university. I think he likes the challenge of that. I think Bobby has always been that guy. You know, he was a small point guard that not real athletic, that people always limited his ability, and he became a first-round draft pick. He got hurt. He was in a car accident, almost cost him his life. People said his career's over. He made it back. So I think he likes the challenge of working at Arizona State. If he was going to have success here, regardless of what's happened here in the last 6 months, you know, his time here was always going to be limited because Bobby Hurley is synonymous with basketball, with college basketball. So there are always going to be bigger and better opportunities. Now, there is no way that this helps him stay here in Arizona State. You know, people can say that everything's fine with them, that it has no bearing, but, you know, you mentioned the arena. That is a huge challenge for that basketball program. You know, when recruits come on campus, and this goes back to Herb Zindek, this isn't new to this staff, you know, they have trouble taking the recruits to the prospects to the arena just because it's not a state-of-the-art arena. It's a negative for them as far as recruiting goes. So, you know, you factor that, you factor in that maybe there might be some friction with the athletic director. You know, if people don't feel comfortable around their boss, it's human nature. You're going to look for a better opportunity.
Yeah.
And if he has a good year this year, and he should, based on what they have coming back, based on what they're bringing in, they should be really good. And, you know, he's going to get opportunities. He's always going to get opportunities because of who he is. And if they keep playing better basketball, he's even going to get bigger opportunities. So that's going to be an issue, I think, year in, year out. You know, it would have been interesting to see if there would have been opportunities this year. And don't forget, you know, the original incident with Dave Cohen's wife happened in 2019. And then right after that season, we had the whole St. John's thing, which, you know, first everybody kind of dismissed as no way, Bobby, that's a step down, maybe a lateral move at best. That kind of went on a little bit longer than what people expected before, you know, that was officially turned down. So, it will be interesting moving forward, and, you know, maybe it all works out for Bobby. You know, maybe, you know, ASU reaches, you know, ascends to a level of basketball that they haven't been to for a while. Maybe the Duke job opens up and it's perfect time for him. And if Duke was going to open, Bobby's going to go there no matter what at any time. So maybe it works out that way. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't mean to minimize what is going on now, but I think if you put everything together, even Bobby's got to tone down his act with officials. I just feel like he's the type of guy that is You know, I'm going to do my thing and I'm going to do it well and I'm going to move on. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I appreciate your time and insight as always, Doug. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate you having me, Brad.
There's Doug Haller with us from The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Eric is next with his 2020 vision. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sports 360 AZ. I am Eric Sorensen. Thank you so much for joining us. And today is the finale, the final 2020 vision guest of the spring. We started this back in mid-March, and we have been fortunate enough to catch up to probably around 20 different student athletes, one from each high school from the class of 2020. And today we are happy to welcome Adam Maldonado, standout outside linebacker, defensive end from Canyon del Oro, huge playmaker for the Dorados, 68 tackles last season, 10 for loss. He had a pick six. He was all over the field, and he joins us via Skype. Adam, how are you?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Thank you for joining me. How have you been handling the pandemic? I know it kind of seems like we're sort of on the back end of it, hopefully. Yeah. But in terms of, you know, your world getting flipped upside down, the routine suddenly became not routine at all, staying at home, working out at home. What have you done over the past couple months just to keep yourself not just physically active, but mentally active as well?
My friends and my family have gotten me through so much, just trying to keep in contact with them as much as possible. And every day I try to keep my routine going so that mentally and physically I can stay in shape.
All right, well, take us through your routine. Like during the quarantine, what was an average day? I know for, at least for me, there was really no difference between like a Monday and a Saturday. They all kind of ran together. But for you, sort of just take us back and what you did from the time you got up till the time you went to bed.
So every day at 6 o'clock, I would wake up and work out, or in this case, now I'd be going to the gym. And then after I'd be done, I would go to work usually. And then I would eat breakfast after that, actually. And then I would go home, sleep, spend some time with my family, text a couple of friends, sleep, and repeat.
It doesn't sound like a bad way to go. In terms of your senior season, you guys finished 8-3, you made the playoffs, a really good year. As you've had time to kind of reflect back on your senior year, what are you going to take away from the 2019 campaign?
Family. I mean, I've been on a lot of teams, but this team or that team was the closest team I've ever been on. I mean, there was a game where we finished with like 20 players left, I think.
Wow.
So just really brothered all the way on that team.
I found your kind of rise to stardom really intriguing because you didn't put up huge stats as a junior, and you're kind of, I think, an unknown, at least statewide, coming in your senior season, and you absolutely blew up, had a great year. What do you attribute all that success to in terms of going from being just a bit player as a junior to being a standout senior?
Coaches and teammates. I mean, my junior year, I didn't weigh a lot, so me and my teammates realized that it could be our last year that a lot of us get to play together. So we thought, might as well make it the best, right? So we would work out 3 times a day and just get after it.
Yeah.
So,
well, one of those teammates that you mentioned, Stevie Rocker, I know he's sort of been, I don't want to say overshadowed by Bijan Robinson down there in Tucson, but he is going into his senior year. He's a phenomenal player. How did it make you better practicing against him? And second part of that question is, how much fun was it on Friday nights when he was healthy watching that guy just go out there and ball?
He was an extremely talented player, so I think he's the best back in Tucson, but that's just me.
Oh, okay. All right.
But he would really help motivate the team, and he helped a lot of us out because when you play against a player that talented, you make everyone else better. So that's really attributed to a team.
Well, and you know, I think Bijan Robinson told Jordan Hamm, who I work with, that the baton for great running backs in Tucson is now being passed to Stevie, and I just hope I hope for his sake that he stays healthy because he's a dynamic player out there on the field. You have a twin brother, Adam, who, if you put you guys side by side, you certainly don't look like twins. You know, hey, no slight towards your brother, but you're what, 6'2", about 180, 185?
Yeah, grew a couple of inches, I think, now. But
oh, you're like closer to like 6'4"?
Yeah.
Wow. And twin brother is about 5'10"-ish?
5'9"-ish.
160-ish?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Is that about right?
Yeah.
How cool is that to be able to share the field with your twin? That's a pretty unique situation.
Awesome. I mean, not a lot of people have the opportunity. So me and my brother are actually really competitive. And so every day we get to push each other. And it's just really awesome to share something that we love together.
All right. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot, Adam. This is probably, of all the questions that I've asked during the 2020 Vision, this is my favorite. What have you done during the quarantine that you sort of picked up like as a hobby? So I'll give you an example, a couple examples. Like we've had a bunch of different student athletes that have really perfected their TikTok. We had a couple that actually went viral. Jake Martinelli, the quarterback up at Horizon, says he does a lot of puzzles. Tiziah Quint, lineman at South Mountain, says he's really into cooking. There's just all kinds of different unique things that the quarantine has sort of brought out. Anything that you have done or picked up on that you hadn't done before all this?
Cooking.
Oh, yeah, really, huh?
Yeah.
What's the specialty?
Really? What?
What's the specialty? What's your go-to?
For breakfast, I make French toast, bacon, sausage, eggs, oatmeal. Like, I go all out every single day, actually.
Self-taught? So, or mom and dad self-taught. Help? Or really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Lots of videos.
Okay, so was that something that you almost by accident picked up on, or was cooking something you were always interested in but just never had a time to pursue it?
It was actually since I needed to start getting weight, especially like now I'm going to college, I just was like, I need to start cooking if I want to do that. So I need to get my nutrition up. So just picked
good
it up
you.
Really.
Good for you. Well, you mentioned college. Why don't you share with our audience what your plans are for the next 4 years?
So I will be going to Kansas Wesleyan University in Salina, Kansas, which is right next to Kansas City. It's a great school. For my business major, it's really, really good. So I'm happy about that, too. And they're a powerhouse football team, so I'm excited to go there.
How do you fit into their scheme in terms of on the field? Why was that the right fit for you, not just on the business side, but on the football side as well?
So in high school, I played a lot of different positions on defense. And so I would play D end. I would play outside linebacker. I would be moved to coverage. So for their scheme, I'm going to be doing the same exact thing, which is awesome because that's always what I wanted to do. And so, yeah.
So are you just as happy like dropping back into coverage as you are rushing the passer and getting in the backfield and chasing down running backs? Is that part of your game? I mean, are you adept enough even at 6'4", 185-ish pounds? Is that all right with you?
It's all right with me completely. I mean, I'll do whatever I can for my team, but nothing's more fun than getting to rush the QB.
Of course. All right. So I assume Adam, school's out down there, right? CDO's done?
Yeah.
What did they do for graduation? Or if they haven't done anything, are they planning on doing any sort of formal graduation? Do you know?
So what we did was you would have 15 people sign up for a time. And each person would walk in and we had a big auditorium and stuff. And you just shook hands, you took pictures and stuff with the principal and by yourself and with your family. And they're planning on, in the future, in a month or two, if they can, to have like a normal graduation. But we'll just see.
That's good. That sounds like a nice alternative. Yeah, it's not the ideal situation, but at least you were able to experience that with your family. Granted, it was kind of a slimmed down version, but was that kind of bittersweet knowing that high school was over and you're on to college, or are you just ready to make that step and write that next chapter?
I'm beyond excited to go to college. So, yeah.
I can imagine. Well, Adam, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. And best of luck with everything. And I'm sure we'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you. Thanks again for having me.
You got it. That's Adam Maldonado, standout defensive player, played pretty much everywhere for the Dorados last season. He is our final 2020 vision guest for this spring. I want to just take this opportunity to thank each and every single one of the student athletes that we've had a chance to spotlight. And we will talk to you soon right here on sports360az.com.